Hi, I'm Katrina Daniel, and welcome to Primetime Crime, a podcast for people who want to know what goes on behind the scenes of the most notorious trending crime stories and what's going on in the minds of those involved in those stories. What are the detectives, the judges, the defense attorneys, and the prosecutors thinking? You'll hear it all on Primetime Crime, the podcast. This is Primetime Crime. I'm Katrina Daniel. And there's no question Brian Laundrie is the most wanted man in America. He's been missing for more than 2 weeks now, ever since he left his parents' home in Florida. Laundrie's parents, Chris and Roberta, took him camping with them. Kind of a weird reaction. Your son comes home without the girlfriend he left with, who is no stranger to the Laundrie family. Gabby Petito lived with them before she and Brian left on this tragic trip. So you're the Laundrie. Chris and Roberta, the FBI is at your doorstep, and your reaction? Let's take our son Brian and go on a family camping trip. Brian then vanishes just as his girlfriend's body is found and her death ruled a homicide. But no, you're roasting s'mores in the marshes of Florida. Right now, Brian Laundrie is still only a person of interest, but the optics aren't good for Brian Laundrie or his parents. Criminal defense attorney Bruce Fleischer is here with me to take us through the twists and turns of this case that has struck at the core of many people.
I really wish he had come to me first that day with the van because I don't think we'd be here. I worry about him. I hope he's okay. And then I'm angry and I don't know what to think. I would tell my brother to just come forward and get us out of this horrible mess.
Thanks for doing this, Bruce.
Always nice to be on Primetime Crime.
All right, Bruce, if you were Brian Laundrie's attorney, what would you tell this guy to do?
I would tell him that sooner or later, he's going to be located and found. So he should come in, surrender himself on whatever the charges are, and fight them in court. You know, there's an issue with the law that if you knew that people were looking for you and you didn't come in, they could try to use that against you in court at a later time. If they could show that you had knowledge of that and you were trying to avoid prosecution.
If you were the defense attorney for Roberta and Chris Laundrie, his parents, who may or may not have bought some time for him to escape because they said they couldn't remember exactly whether he left on September 14th or 13th. And John Walsh is saying he bought an extra day for Laundrie to escape. What's your thought on that?
I would tell the parents. If I were the parents, I would do the right thing and tell my son, you've got to face this thing and you need to take care of it. Don't hide. Don't run. Come in and face it. It's only going to be worse at a later time. In addition to the fact that if it looks like you're trying to avoid prosecution, in the event that you could possibly get a bail bond in the case, could negate a judge's thoughts about considering giving him a bond.
All right, explain that to us who are not in criminal defense directly. Let's just assume that he may be caught and then he will ask for bond. How will his parents' failure, refusal to help authorities affect that?
Well, it's really not the parents. It's really the potential defendant whose fault it is. You know, if the parents went to a bond hearing and said, please give our son a bond, you know, the scrutiny from the government would be on the parents as to what the parents did or didn't do to help their son avoid prosecution. Did they encourage it? Did they buy him time? You know, these days, there are really no secrets in the world. There's so many ways to investigate situations and people through cell phone tracking, computers, and all that, that there's really no way to hide that. And they should, you know, in the best interest of their son, try to get him to surrender, help him get the best counsel they can find, and prepare a defense. Remember, he hasn't been charged with a homicide yet. We don't know if they can link him to the homicide, or we don't know if they can link him to the death. Was it an accidental death or was it a homicide? You know, they're not really giving too much information in the news about that, as far as I'm concerned.
Why do you think that is?
Law enforcement doesn't want to show all their colors in the beginning. Now, when an arrest is made, if an arrest is made, and the discovery process begins, the government should be prepared to go to trial and turn over everything to the defense, which includes exculpatory information, any information which could possibly, and I say possibly, clear Mr. Laundry of these charges or turn over favorable evidence to Mr. Laundry and his attorney.
If you were Brian Laundry's defense attorney and he wanted to meet with you and somehow contacted you, what would your obligation be to law enforcement?
First of all, there are no obligations because we don't even know what the client is really going to meet with us, what the client's going to tell us, but there's nothing wrong with going to another jurisdiction. I remember going out of the country to go meet people who were facing charges. So he's entitled to consult with an attorney, and the attorney can make a decision on what's the best plan to take in a situation like this. And an attorney doesn't have to give information as to the whereabouts of his client either. That's privilege as well.
The optics in this case look horrible for Brian Laundry and his family. How could you fix that?
Some people hire public relations teams to put a different spin on it. But I think the best way to do it is to enter a not guilty plea, litigate the case, and fight the case. And not have the family talk to anybody about anything. I think there's far too much of that in the press. His sister gave all types of statements the other day. That doesn't mean anything. The press is just hungry for answers here. But the question is, where is he? Did he go off in the woods and kill himself? Or is he hiding? Or did he die of something? You know, was he attacked by a bear in the woods? Did he slip and fall off of a cliff? You know, who knows? But everyone's entitled to that defense and they're presumed innocent. But he should come in and face the, you know, face the music as to whatever the music is at this time.
I think I have the biggest issue with his parents because Gabby Petito lived with them. So she's not a stranger to his parents. All of a sudden, your son comes back after a vacation. I left her out in the desert or the mountains or wherever. And you don't do anything? I mean, don't you have an obligation as a parent?
I think you have an obligation as a parent, and you also have an obligation to her family.
Yeah, you do. Well, that brings me to a question. If you were her parents, could they have any grounds for a suit, a civil suit, against the Laundries?
Against the parents, the Laundry
yes.
parents?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Nothing comes to mind right now. You know, Were they aiding and abetting in a fugitive? He's not even a fugitive yet.
He is a fugitive.
Was a fugitive from two, I guess, identity theft crimes.
I guess the presumption, and you should always have the presumption of innocence. Let's just say the optics, it looks really bad for him.
I mean, yeah, it does not look good. And you'd have to put a good spin on it. And present evidence as to why he didn't come in, you know, and flight can be used in cases against defendants, but it's too early to kind of comment on that at this time, as far as how they would do it. But, you know, if and when he gets caught or if and when he turns himself in, the government is going to argue that obviously he knew that we were looking for him, Judge. It was on every paper in the United States. It's been on the news incessantly. And why didn't he come in? What did he have to hide?
So let's talk about a manhunt, Bruce. What do you know about manhunts? I know you've had prior clients or current clients that have been the subject of manhunts. What stands out most to you during those scenarios?
Law enforcement gathers as much information as they can as to where a person might be, who he or she might have contacted to receive help, looking for credit card usage, phone usage, where people might be. And, you know, there are profilers who are brought in to try to figure all this out. There are people from the FBI to try to figure out, okay, where is the suspect that we're trying to find? Where can we locate this person? And there was a manhunt years ago when Whitey Bulger was being looked for by the FBI in the United States government. And I, along with Manny Cassebile, represented John Connolly in Connolly's murder trial here. That was several months.
Talk to us quickly. Give us a rundown on who John Connolly was slash is.
John Connolly was a decorated FBI agent from Boston who, according to the government, had a relationship with Whitey Bulger, who was a Irish mob boss in South Boston. And it was alleged that they had a relationship in that he protected Bulger while Bulger and the Winter Hill Gang were doing crimes. And if you see the movie Black Mass, or you see The Departed, Scorsese's great film, you'll see that it was all based on true things, according to the government. And Bulger was told, you know, you can use these guys as informants as long as nobody gets hurt. Well, there were some people got hurt. There were a series of murders, okay? But they were getting such inside information on the mob in Boston that it was worth it to have Bulger and Stevie Flemmy as informants for them. Now, Whitey Bulger, to the day he died, denied he was an informant, but Flemmy testified in trial as to what the relationship was. You know, the government's big thing back then, according to Bobby Kennedy, was to stamp out the mafia. And they were going to do that at any price. So they let, according to certain people, let the FBI cozy up with the mob. Fascinating, fascinating, fascinating. There's lots of books on this. And I read about 10 books before I ever read the first transcript in the case. And there was a very lovely woman who was from Boston who came a lot to the trial and watched the trial. She was always nicely, casually dressed in sports clothes. And we would take breaks, you know, our morning coffee break, and buy some Cuban coffee. And I saw her a lot. And I said, what brings you to Miami? And she goes, oh, I just love to watch trials. Trial was over 2 months later. And as we're packing up, and we had about 40 or 50 boxes in the courtroom. And she came over and she introduced herself and she goes, I'm not really who I said I was. I said, what do you mean? She says, I'm the fugitive coordinator for the United States for the FBI. And if you or your legal team gives us the whereabouts of Whitey Bulger, $5 million will be put in your deposit in your bank account by 5 o'clock tomorrow. And we all looked at each other and we said, you know, we're sorry, but we don't know where Mr. Bulger is. A lot of people would like to know where he is. And eventually, you know, he was caught because there were pictures of, he had two mistresses. One who he left in Boston, who passed away, I think last year, and one who went on the run with him.
Right.
And it was her photograph that was put in beauty shops all over the country. And she got $5 million. We actually thought that Whitey was, I always thought he was hiding in Ireland or in Europe, but he was in Santa Monica.
Yes, he was, in an apartment building there.
In an apartment building. So there was the offer, $5 million. And none of us knew, and Connolly didn't know where he was either.
Hey, let's go back to Brian Laundrie's family for a second. Can his parents be charged criminally with anything?
If law enforcement can show that they obstructed justice in any way, and they could be subject of an investigation there, maybe charged. I'm just not sure what they did or they didn't do.
Well, first they refused to let the cops talk to their son. And that's then the next day, poof, he's gone. So yeah, there is that.
Well, you're not supposed to give false and misleading information to law enforcement, okay? But if they didn't want the FBI to talk to their son, they could say that. Of course, they could have just said to their son, don't talk to these people. You know, people who talk to the police normally wind up hearing those words against them in court.
Yep.
So the best thing to do is hire counsel, invoke, and find out what the case is all about, prepare it for trial.
Yeah, but again, that's really bad optics. And a juror will say, if you have nothing to hide, then you should have talked to them because a little girl was missing.
You're absolutely right. But, you know, law enforcement has been accused of twisting things around or saying things that aren't true.
You know. Well, that's correct, too. The latest news is that Chris Laundry, Brian's father, is now happily going to join in the search for his son 2 weeks later.
I don't think it's the parents' responsibilities to help law enforcement find their son, you know, like that.
Brian Laundry
is an adult, okay?
Right.
I don't know how smart he is. I don't know, you know, anything about him. But if your father says, or your mother says, turn yourself in, we will be behind you, we will support you, that's basically all they have to do. You know, he's an adult. And they should feel very bad that the girlfriend of their son is dead and feel very sad for the Petito family.
Yeah, they should. Where do you think Laundry is?
Well, they say he's supposed to be in some preserve.
Yeah, in Florida.
Near Venice, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I have no idea, but I think you hit it on the head that the jury would think, well, this person had nothing to hide.
Yeah.
But, you know, jurors learn many things in trials. And I once tried a murder case, and the jury foreman, who was a stockbroker, called me 2 weeks after the trial and said he wanted to have lunch with me. And I said, I can't talk to you about the case. He says, I don't want to talk to you about the case. He says, I just want to tell you, I never realized how important criminal defense lawyers were in the justice system. I was never exposed to anything like that. And then 2 months later, I wound up representing his son and his nephew in two different criminal matters. Everyone's entitled to a defense. There's a constitution that talks about constitutional rights. And we should hold the government's feet to the fire to put on an honest case and a case that is just and fair, shall we say.
That's a good note on which to end. Bruce, as usual, thank you for your valuable contributions.
Oh, well, you're welcome. Always a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for listening to Primetime Crime, the podcast. Follow us on Facebook at Primetime Crime and on Instagram and Twitter at PrimetimeCrime_. Post your comments and tell us what true crime stories you'd like to hear about. Subscribe to Primetime Crime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. Thanks a lot.